Well, it's Wednesday, February 24th, and Helix has updated its website. And the website actually leaves a little doubt that the B117 is continuing to expand exponentially and is on track to become the dominant species in the U.S. Next month. The latest update actually shows for the entire country that the percent of the SGTS, which is S gene failure, trying to think of the T, or target, S gene target failure. And it's up to about 30% now for the whole country. It went up quite a bit on the last day that's listed, which is February 21st. But these numbers actually aren't complete. Sometimes they actually get a little bit higher as you get past the day that it was posted, because they're still kind of tacking on numbers. But regardless of the exact number, the trend is quite dramatic. It continues to increase daily. Is what percentage of the PCR positive samples do indicate that there's a deletion in the spike gene that gives the target failure. And one of the reasons I was waiting for the Helix data is, they basically chart both what percentage of the S gene target failures actually turn out to be B117, and that number is in the 90 to 100% range of late. And those are the two parameters that you can follow fairly directly using their approach. I mean, their approach is to use a Fisher commercial test. They may actually make their own by now, but this test targeted three genes, and the S gene, the primers were really over the region that ends up being deleted in the UK variant or the B117, and as a result, it gives a negative, while the other two give strong positives, because the virus has the mutation of N501Y, which increases its affinity for the receptor, and as a result, the viral loads are generally on the higher side, and you get an estimate of the viral load with the PCR test. Also, it's the lower the CT score, the higher the RNA is. Anyway, the data, I mean, just as a little background, that Helix basically receives samples from all 50 states plus the District of Columbia. I don't know the exact numbers they get from each, but they have been the first to identify the variant in many states. They have identified the lion's share of the positives in both California and Florida. And recently, the numbers have gone up quite a bit in Texas and Georgia and North Carolina and Pennsylvania and Indiana. So the number of states that they're getting multiple positives continues to go up. There's some states that are just returning the first or second positive for Helix lately. And they also released the spreadsheet of all the data. And what that shows is that this large increase recently isn't just because Florida's gotten a lot stronger or California's got a lot stronger. It really goes across the board, and they've got, quite a few positives in other states like Texas and Georgia and Pennsylvania. And it is an indication that the variant is increasing at an exponential rate. And that was actually being reflected in some of the data that was being submitted by other labs, that fairly large numbers were showing up in multiple states. There were unusual situations like Michigan that had an outbreak at a prison. And that actually propelled Michigan into the number two slot in the country. And that was actually done by the Department of Health that did those sequences. They actually just released 113 of them. And somewhat surprisingly, sequences were definitely the variant, but they were missing the deletions, both in the spike gene as well as the NSP6. And therefore, they actually wouldn't have been picked up by this method because they don't have the deletion, although they do have a mutation at position 70, so that might have disrupted the primer, and they might have got a negative because of that. But that mutation wasn't in all of the cases in Michigan. It was just a subset, and it was kind of the same thing in the state of Washington. They had a large series of positives, and they also didn't have those deletions. So this technique, it's chief benefit is you can just look at the PCR results and look for a positive, negative, positive pattern where the S gene is negative and ORF1AB and the N gene are both positive. And that's the pattern. And they don't all turn out to be B117, but there are actually one of the measurements is to see what percentage do turn out to be the variant, and that has also been increasing. It was closer to 40% at the beginning of the year, and now, like I say, it's close to 90 to 100%. And so the fact that frequency is getting so high is an indication that B117 is gaining on other strains that basically register as a positive, and it also shows its gain against general population. A lot of the media reports have been talking about the decline in the number of positives and the number of tests, and that's basically coming off the big spike that was mostly related to holiday travel and visits, and it was predicted that the next thing happens with the flu, that numbers go up January and February, which did, and then they start to fade. And that's what's going on. But it's a benefit for the variant. The variant is more efficient at binding to the receptor, and therefore it has a higher viral load. It's more easily transmitted. And so when the numbers are going up for the us, that's really efficient to the variant. And the variant goes up. The disadvantage of the approach is that it is hard target for BBB117. Isn't picking up other variants. And, some of the other variants may involve the most dramatic data is coming with B51, and that's got the high levels in South Carolina. And if you recall, that was where the first cases went up to 21. So there's only 21 in South Carolina, and only 2 B17 in Maryland, there are 9. So the other variants are increasing on the level. And I'm really going to do a battle to the vaccines, the vaccine line, increase Pfizer did their shipping 100 million shots. Moderna announces that is expected to continue until they're the dominant strain. Next month, their doubling time is still in the neighborhood of 10 days. So 10 days, they doubled their frequency.